As for the children, who will be born from time to time, they will be taken away by officials responsible for these things. These officials may be men or women, or men and women, since offices, I take it, are open to women and men alike. Yes. The children of good parents will be taken, I think, and transferred to the nursing pen, where there will be special nurses living separately in a special part of the city. The children of inferior parents, on the other hand, or any deformed specimen born to the other group, will be removed from sight into some secret and hidden place. As is right. Yes, he said, at any rate, if the breed of guardians is going to remain pure. Now, I said, let's continue in a systematic way with the task we set ourselves. We said children should be born to those in their prime. True. Well, do you agree that a reasonable span for a woman's prime is 20 years, and for a man's 30? Which 20 and which 30? He asked. For a woman, it means starting at 20 and going on bearing children for the city until 40. For a man, when his days as a sprinter are behind him, then he should father children for the city from that age until 55. Yes, he agreed, for both of them that is the prime of life, both physically and mentally. If someone older or younger than this takes part in producing children for the state, we shall call it an offence against the gods and against justice. And the same law applies if a man who is still entitled to father children gets access to a woman of the appropriate age without a ruler promoting the union. We shall say he is presenting the city with an illegitimate, unauthorised and unholy child. And we shall be absolutely right, he said. Of course, when women and men pass the age for producing children, we shall declare them free, presumably, to have sex with anyone they like, apart from a daughter or a mother, or their daughter's daughters, or their mother's mothers. For a woman, anyone other than a son or father, or their son's sons or father's fathers. And all this only when we have first impressed upon them how careful they must be. If there is a pregnancy, then ideally the embryo should never see the light of day. If one does force its way into existence, the parents must deal with it on the understanding that they cannot bring up a child of this sort. That all seems quite reasonable, he said. But this business of fathers and daughters, and the relationships you were talking about just now, how will they tell their own from anyone else's? They won't. When a man takes part in a marriage, he will regard as his children all those born in the 10th month from the day of the festival. He will call the male children his sons, and the female children his daughters. They will call him father. Similarly, he will call the children's offspring his grandchildren, and they in turn will call his generation grandfathers and grandmothers. Those born during the period when their mothers and fathers were producing children, they will call their sisters and brothers. In this way, they can avoid one another, as we were suggesting just now. However, the law will allow unions between brothers and sisters, if that is how the lot falls out, and if the Pythian priestess gives her consent as well. Quite right.